Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here on Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. Friday, Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. Esmeralda the Heart Melda will be here. Viggity Viggity Vic. I'll be Wiki Wiki Nikki. And we got DJ Longfellow in this morning. And that's all coming up. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy. All coming back. So, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We'd love to hear from you. And we're talking about the funniest town names in all 50 states. These are all real town names. These aren't fake. And if you come from a weird named town, or you want to, if you know of a weird named town, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And we've got, they're all of the states here. So we'll start with Alabama. Esmeralda, would you enjoy, visiting Screamer, Alabama?
No, thank you.
You don't want to go to Screamer, Alabama? Screamer, an unincorporated community in southeastern Alabama, has a noisy history. According to a local historian, the name may have two origins. In one version of the story, it comes from the fact that 19th century Native Americans used to loudly heckle white train travelers as they passed by what was their reservation. The screaming could also be referred to the din made by local bears, panthers, and wildcats. Panthers? So that's Screamer, Alabama. Hey, is that where Sam Kinison was from? Hold on a minute now. Wait a second. All right. See, Esmeralda, because he screamed a lot. Sam Kinison. See?
Right.
Yeah. How about Un-Alaska, Alaska? Un-Alaska, Alaska. Don't let the name fool you. Un-Alaska is as Alaskan as it comes. With little more than 4,500 residents, Un-Alaska is the largest city in the Aleutian Mountains islands. Originally, the residents were named Agun Alaskish, which means near the peninsula. As Russian fur traders arrived, the spelling morphed into something else, and now it's Un-Alaska. Un-Alaska. Here's a good one. Why Arizona? Why? Why do I live here? Why? A town called Why? This teeny tiny community near the U.S.-Mexico border is named after the Y-shaped intersection of two nearby highways. But because of an Arizona law requiring place names to have at least three letters, Y, just the letter Y, became the much more existential W-H-Y. So there's an Arizona law that requires a name has to have at least three letters? Doesn't that seem weird, Dan? That seems a little weird to me. Why are they being so specific? I don't understand that. Esmeralda, have you ever been to someplace that only was named with one letter?
Can't say that I have.
I don't think I have. Is there a law here in Illinois that we have to name something with at least three letters? Is that
I don't know.
Is that on the books here?
I'm trying to find even examples of two-letter towns.
Yeah. Maybe there's something on the list here that only has two letters. Why? I just think that's pretty funny, though. And it's a teeny tiny community. You know, a lot of these, I would imagine, are not going to have a lot of, like, a huge population. These are probably, like, very, very small towns. We're looking at, like, you know, 4,500 residents, teeny tiny, all that stuff. All right, how about this? Smackover, Arkansas. Oh, I like that. I think Vince McMahon named that town. Smackover, Arkansas. This town of 1,800 people in southern Arkansas, at one point of the nation, it was one of the nation's biggest oil producers. It was settled by French trappers in the early 19th century. The name Smackover may have come from the French name for the local creek, which is Chemin Couvert, which means covered way. The sumac trees are also part of it. It's a local plant, sumac. Alternate theories trace the name back to the legend of oil streaming, smack over the derrick, or a settler jumping smack over the creek, according to the state's website. So there are a few theories as to why it's called Smackover. All right, how about this one, Esmeralda? Out of California? Rough and ready. The early residents of Rough and Ready, California, were prepared to get down and dirty for their independence. Named after a mining company with the same moniker, the town, with a current population of 1,581, was the first to secede from the Union and become its own quote-unquote republic in 1850 as a protest against mining taxes, prohibition mandates, and laws that weren't enforced. Though their rebellion was laughably short-lived, the town rejoined the United States just three months later. Its residents still pay homage to Rough and Ready's spirited past with a celebration on the last Saturday in June. So, boy, in the entire town must party because there's only 1,500 people in the town. So that's got to be a pretty crazy party. Last Saturday in June, in Rough and Ready Saturday. This one I've heard, and this one cracks me up. It's called No Name, Colorado. It's an actual place. This one I've heard about this one before. What started out as a temporary solution has become a point of pride for locals, which currently number 200 in No Name, Colorado. According to reports, a government official first marked a newly constructed exit off of I-70 with a sign reading No Name, just as a placeholder. By the time officials got around to officially labeling it, No Name had the support of the community, and it stuck. Visitors can find the spot near the No Name Tunnels, No Name Creek, and the No Name Hiking Trail. That's a great story about how something got named. You know, you ever been to New Orleans?
No.
Dan? Esmeralda, you've been to New Orleans, right?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Well, there's this great, you know, you can go on those great cemetery tours because there's great graveyards in New Orleans, and they bury the bodies above ground. They're in like tombs. They're in cement tombs because of flooding, you know, of where it is, and you know, they didn't want corpses floating around, so they build them up above. And one of the times I went to New Orleans, we went on one of those graveyard tours where we saw Marie Laveau, where Marie Laveau was buried, and all kinds of great stories. We had a great tour guide. When you go on these tours, it's always cool if you've got a really, really enthusiastic and very entertaining tour guide, and we had a great tour guide. Now, the church that's located across the street from the graveyard where Marie Laveau lives, well, some say she's still around. There's a church right across the street, and part of the tour is to go on this church. When you go into the church, it's a beautiful Catholic church. You know, like statues everywhere, beautiful stained glass, really just like a really ornate and beautiful, beautiful church. And if you go around the corner, like sort of to the back, there is this crazy statue of a saint, and it's like a guy, like on a horse with a giant sword and a helmet on. I mean, this just doesn't, you know, you look at that and you go, that's not a saint. You don't think crazy dude on horse looking crazy with a giant sword is a saint. And it was, and his name is Saint Expedite. That's his name. So if you look, if you go to this church in New Orleans, there's a statue, this weird, crazy statue. And it says under the plaque on the bottom of the statue says Saint Expedite. And the story behind it is, years and years and years and years and years ago, a package, a box was delivered to the church. No one knew where it came from. No return address. It was just delivered. And they opened it up, and there's this statue. Someone had delivered this statue to be put up. And all it said on the box was Expedite. So they put the statue up, and they called him Saint Expedite. And that's the patron saint of voodoo followers in New Orleans. Like, because there's a ton of people who are into voodoo in New Orleans, and that's where they go to pray. You go to pray if you're a voodoo, if you follow voodoo, if you're into voodoo in New Orleans, you go to pray to Saint Expedite.
So he very easily could have been like Saint Fragile or something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It could have been Fragile. That's right. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. That's a true story, though. True story. All right, we got to take a break, and we got more funny town names from all 50 states. And if you know of any, 312-981-7200. How's everybody doing? Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about real towns that exist in the United States and all the funniest town name in all 50 states. And if you've got any that you would like to contribute, you know, or maybe a town you're from or something like that, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're going to talk about some great high school movies as well, and then all of our regular Friday features will begin. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, Fly Jams Friday, this morning featuring DJ Longfellow, who is in for DJ Shagru this morning. All right, let's get back to some of these crazy town names. Okay, how about this one? Connecticut, Hazardville. Hazardville. Hazardville, Connecticut began as a 19th century industrial village that made gunpowder. Thankfully, that's not how it got its moniker. The town was named after Colonel Augustus George Hazard, who purchased and expanded the company in 1837. So, Hazardville. You guys remember the sketch on SNL, Colonel Angus? Remember that? Do you remember that sketch?
Yeah.
It's one of the silliest sketches ever. And the fact that it's Christopher Walken who plays Cunnilingus is amazing. And I also love, because it's a one-joke sketch. It's just, you know, telling jokes that would relate to Cunnilingus. And so the greatest detail about that, it's just one of the dumbest sketches in the history of SNL. It's also hilarious. It's also really, really funny. But it's like, it's a one joke, crude,
and it's unapologetic.
Unapologetic. And you know who wrote that sketch?
Tina Fey
wrote that sketch. You know, like, what, considered one of the best, most intelligent writers that has ever been on the show. And she wrote the Colonel Angus sketch. That's one of my favorite details, because she's, you know, Tina Fey is not afraid to get down and dirty for a laugh. She doesn't care. I mean, she's brilliant and one of the best head writers in the history of SNL. But I don't know why. And it's like, that's like one of her favorite sketches that she's ever written. Yeah, it's like, what are some of your greatest accomplishments on SNL? Well, one of them is Colonel Angus. There's no question about it. Oh, man. All right. How about Delaware Corner Ketch? Corner Ketch, K-E-T-C-H, Corner Ketch. It's rumored that Corner Ketch, an unincorporated community in Newcastle County, Delaware, got its name from a rough-and-tumble local bar whose patrons were so quarrelsome that townspeople would warn strangers, they'll catch ye at the corner. They'll catch ye at the corner. Here's a good one, Two Egg, Florida. Two Egg, Florida. Two Egg, Florida got its name. These are all real places, by the way. Two Egg, Florida got its name during the Great Depression. According to local lore, two young boys were so strapped for cash that they paid a local shopkeeper for sugar by giving them two eggs. These make-do business transactions occurred so regularly that patrons began referring to the establishment as a two-egg store. Eventually, the name caught on with traveling salesmen, and so it spread to other towns. You get to pay for something with two eggs. That's not bad.
They don't go as far as they used to.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Well, you know, next week, people are going to have a bunch of eggs, because next Sunday is Easter. So I wonder if you can get more, if something is worth more. One, if the eggs are hard-boiled. Two, what if they're colored, you know, like for Easter? Hey, do they still have the old school paws? Do you know what I'm talking about, Dan?
Yeah, those P-A-A-S, kits.
Yeah, the coloring kits where you get the little...
I think they're still around.
Are they still around?
I think so.
You get the vinegar, right? It would be like...
Yeah,
you would have the,
you they put were, the dye in.
You put the dye in, and then you would... There was a metal, like, hoop... That
yeah,
you would put balance the balance the egg on this little like hoop on a little stick, and you would dip the egg in.
Yeah, I'm sure those are still around.
Paws. And they were so, it was so cheap too. They were like little, they were just like little little cardboard. But does anybody know Paws is still around? Is anybody going to use Paws next week? Because you know they got all them fancy things now where you can color eggs and all kind. You remember when they had the egg coloring kit where you'd put the egg like on a swivel and there would be like pens and you would turn the egg and you would be able to like draw different like designs on it.
No,
like
I don't,
circles and
I don't
stuff.
Remember that one.
Yeah, that was like the alternative, you know. But no, Paws, man, that's the way to go. That's what you got to have, Paws. P-A-A-S. Always been, you know, I worked at the Jewels for many years. And right around late February, the Paws displays would be put up. And I worked the dairy department, so that's right next to the egg. So I would always have to put up a Paws, you know, a Paws display next to the egg center, and eggs would fly, man. We would sell, so we'd have to double order eggs.
Order eggs.
Oh yeah, it was because they would just fly out. You know, there was a time when I remember when I was working at the Jewels, where we'd have to keep an eye on kids who were buying eggs on Halloween. So if we were like working
on
Halloween,
those are going on somebody's car.
House, car, face, whatever. And so we would like, if I remember correctly, at one point they put a restriction on, I don't know if it was age or quantity of eggs that you could, I don't think you could put a restriction on age to buy. You can't, you have to be 18 and older to buy eggs. What are you talking about? But I think you could like limit the amount. It's, you know, and they have this in stores when they have big sales.
Right.
They limit the amount of purchases that you can make of that item.
Lock them up behind like plexiglass,
like condoms. Put them behind put them behind the. By the way, can I ask a question here? What is the deal with at some places like Walgreens and stuff? Where because you know I use the you know the stick deodorant, that men's stick deodorant. And have you seen these little the cases that they're in now? Like where you got to be like Nicolas Cage and National Treasure to figure out how to get the damn. Product. Have you seen these things?
No.
There's like a plastic shield in front of all of the deal. Has anybody seen this? Is the Jewel or the Walgreens by my apartment has this? I went in there just. I ran out of deodorant, so I ran across the street just to get deodorant. It took me 26 minutes to try to get the damn thing out. Like there was some sort of puzzle. It was like I thought maybe it was like Saw. I had to figure this thing out or get killed. You know.
I've seen the razors in the like allergy medicine locked up. I've never seen deodorant.
It's not like it's locked up, but it's like there's a if anybody has experienced this, 312-981-7200, the difficulty of buying deodorant at a Walgreens. Like you have to call for help. Like I don't know how you push the thing in, you slide it over this there's like a plastic shield in front of each deodorant, in front of each stick. And it slides back and forth, and you're supposed to slide it and get it to the point where you can reach your hand in and kind of dig the deodorant out, and then it slaps back and pushes forward. Like, what the hell is it? I just want to get deodorant. Just put it on the shelf. Is that considered a dangerous? Am I nuts? Do people like immediately take it and just rub it on their tongue, and they want to stop people from doing that? I don't understand it. Yeah, apparently I'm the only one. Nobody's calling in. I must be the only person that's experienced. I guess the Walgreens at Irving Park in Pulaski is the only one that has these protective plastic shields over the deodorant. I don't know. I don't understand. I really don't understand the contraption, the plastic crazy shield contraption that stays over the deodorant. I don't get it. So anyway. How did we get? Oh, we were talking about the two eggs. Eggs. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's just frustrating. Frustrating. So, anyway. All right. I just keep waiting for someone to call in or text in, you know, saying, hey, I also have difficulty getting deodorant. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. We're talking about funny named towns across the nation, and so let's go with Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Right here in our home state, we have Sandwich, Illinois.
That's the one.
It doesn't sound weird to us, but maybe to people in other states it does.
It's on this list. That's the representative from it's Sandwich, Illinois. It says, no, it's not named after the cold cut concoction originally called Almon, A-L-M-O-N, after land developer Almon Cage. When it was founded in 1855, Sandwich got its name when a train stop liaison named it after his hometown of Sandwich, New Hampshire. It still capitalizes on the connotation, though. The town holds a sandwich festival annually, so they celebrate the sandwich in Sandwich, Illinois.
And they're also one of the last towns that have a drive-in. They have a working drive-in. If anybody wants to take a ride out there and check out an old-fashioned drive-in, it opens up like in May.
Oh, this in Sandwich?
Yes.
And it's a you, drive-in, meaning you go in and
drive-in theater.
Oh, a drive-in theater. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
For us older people that know what a drive-in theater. You remember the Bel Air on 31st and Cicero?
Oh yeah, double Bel Air. There was the sun
in Harlem. That was a great one.
The Sunset. There was the Harlem Irving Plaza. There was one at Harlem Irving. Oh, there were tons of. I used to go to the drive-in all the time. Yeah.
One more thing. My dad had a job when I was a kid. Sunday mornings, he would be in charge of three other guys. They would do drive-in cleanup. Some of the things they would find in that drive-in on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock,
yeah,
I probably couldn't even talk about on the radio.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised by that at all. That doesn't surprise me at all. All right, thank you, Bill.
Okay, have all a good right. night, guys. Love
Sandwich,
you.
Thank you very much. Sandwich, Illinois. Speaking of drive-ins, we're getting close to drive-in season. And my friends Mike and Mia Kurz, who run the Flashback weekend every year that I host, that I'm one of the hosts of, they run a drive-in called the Midway Drive-In, and it's in Dixon, Illinois, and they do great work out there. They have special theme nights where they show old movies and all kinds of cool stuff, and they show, you know, the big blockbusters that come out during the summer, and they're going to be opening up in a little bit. We're getting close to drive-in time, so check out the Midway Drive-In. MidwayDriveIn.net, I believe, is their website. So you should check it out. Mike and Mia, really cool people. All right. We have to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk more about real weird. These are actual names of actual towns. Oh, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. A little Wang Chung for you on this morning. Wang Chung was playing Ravinia with 15 other 80s guests. We went through the lineup. Jim Ryan and I went through the because Ravinia has announced their season. And there, I'm not exaggerating, Dan. There is one morning or one day when there are like 10 80s acts. Like playing, and Flock of Seagulls is the headliner. It's like Flock of Seagulls, Wang Chung, and like six other acts from the 80s. It's like they programmed that for me. I guess the gate, because normally the gates open at like 6 or something like that. I think they open at 2, and they start the show. It's like a
little matinee, 80s.
Little 80s, you know, sit there for 7 hours watching all these acts. I'd go. So, I love Wang Chung. All right. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are talking about real town names. Funniest town name in all 50 states. Here is Trucker Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick. Hey. Great show again tonight.
Thank you, buddy.
Just sitting here in my 80,000-pound recliner doing about 70 miles an hour listening to you guys in the living room.
Yeah.
And that last caller was talking about Sandwich, Illinois.
Yeah.
And I've got an uncle that's probably like yours that told you why Walgreens was called Walgreens.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at the map, I can't remember which direction it is, either going east or west, but the next town over is Plano. So when you're driving in, you go to Plano Sandwich. And he told me there used to be a little village in between it that was called Bologna.
Yeah, right.
And as a kid, I thought, well, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, he's an adult. He's got to be telling me the truth. But there is a town named Plano is the next town to Sandwich. And I can't remember which way you're going. But if you're going like west to east, you're going through Plano Sandwich. So
yeah, I know Plano. I'm familiar with Plano. Yeah. I just remember Plano being devastated by a tornado a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, it was.
And but yeah, Plano Sandwich. There you go. When we're looking for bologna, if that's real. All right, Rich. Thanks. Yeah. Man. Have a good one.
Yeah, have a good evening.
All right, bye. Dan, do you know the story? My Walgreens story. Have I told you the Walgreens story? True story.
More deodorant?
No, it's not. We did get a text. Someone said, because I find it difficult to get deodorant because they have these plastic shields in front of them and you got to slide the thing. It's like one of the puzzles out of a Saw movie just to buy a damn stick of deodorant. 219 area code says maybe the plastic deodorant shield is there to prevent people from using the deodorant in the store and then putting it back on the shelf. Now, I don't know about that, because, I mean, if you struggle enough, you can get the deodorant out, and why would someone just not pickpocket it? Why wouldn't they just like throw it and steal it? Use it and then put it back on the shelf? Why would somebody do that? I mean, if you've committed to trying to, you know, use the deodorant illegally, put it in your pocket. You can use it more than once then. You just want a quick freshen up? I don't smell very good. I'm going to walk in the Walgreens, slap some deodorant under my arm, throw it back on the shelf, and get ready for my job interview. That's the stupid. I don't know. No, the Walgreens story, very quickly. My uncle, and this is years ago when I was a little kid. My uncle told me, hey, you know why it's called Walgreens, right? And I was like, no, why is it called Walgreens? And he said, because when they first opened the stores, all the walls were painted green. And I was like, oh. So that's what he told me, you know. So, true story, Dan. I'm at a party and I'm like 20. And I'm in a room full of people who are in their 20s. And I go, hey, you guys know why, it's like 20, 21 years old. You guys know why Walgreens is called Walgreens, right? And they kind of look at me like, what? What are you talking about? And I go, because when they first opened the stores, all the walls were painted green. And the entire room was like, what the hell is wrong with you? It's called Walgreens because the people who own it, their name is Walgreen. That's why. It's not because they painted the walls green. So here I am. I'm like, it was unbelievably embarrassing. I was like, wait a minute. my God.
My life is a lie.
The terrible thing, the most idiotic thing about that is that I'm an adult at that point, and I still believed that Walgreens was called Walgreens because the walls were painted green.
Well, it's one of those innocuous things that you're told as a kid. Like, it's so stupid. Why would somebody?
That's why Trucker Rich brought up his uncle said that there was a place called Bologna in between Plano and Sandwich. And he's like, that's probably a lie, too, like the Walgreens thing. And I was so mad. You know, at that point, my uncle had divorced my aunt, and he was long gone, so I couldn't, go after him. But I was so pissed. I was like, I can't believe. Why would you tell? I was like five when he told me that. Why would you tell a five-year-old that? And, it was serious. Like, it was real. It was a fact. But the thing is, for 15 years, I believed it. That's the kind of moron I am. I'm walking around in my late teens, walking into Walgreens going, I really wished it was like the old days when all the walls were painted green. That's what uncles are for, though. They're supposed to mess with you. It's my fault that I'm stupid enough to have believed it into my adult years. Oh, yeah, the walls were painted green. You idiot. Hey, yay, yay. All right, let's see. We got 630 area code. How about Wiener, Arkansas? There's a Wiener, Arkansas. hey, Trucker Steve from Milwaukee, cities Peculiar, Missouri, and Intercourse, Pennsylvania. There's an Intercourse in I think there's an Intercourse in about four different states. Tom says, what about Floyd's Knob, Indiana? And French Lick, Indiana. You know who's from French Lick, Indiana, Dan?
Larry Bird.
That's exactly right, sir. Larry Bird from French Lick, Indiana. How about Spread Eagle, Wisconsin? That can't be real.
I looked it up. It is real.
It's real. Spread Eagle, Wisconsin? That's fantastic. How about Possum Trot, Kentucky? And now, come on now, this can't be real. Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky? That's where all the monkeys even have eyebrows. They got hair all over their face. That isn't it.
I wouldn't say yeah.
Yeah? Monkey's eyebrow, Kentucky. How about this? Tim says in Wisconsin, there's a town called I'm Alone. So I'm very suspicious of a few of these. I don't know. We're going to have to. Did you double check on some of these, Dan?
I'm Alone is an unincorporated community located in the towns of Atlanta and Murray in Russ County, Wisconsin.
Wow.
No punctuation in there. It's just one word.
I'm Alone. No. Okay. All right. Well, that's funny. All right, we got more of these coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break here. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase studio right here, looking out on the Michigan Avenue. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Friday morning. That means Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. DJ Longfellow sitting in for DJ Shagrews, taking the morning off. And we've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and of course, You Big Dummy. All coming up right here on 720 WGN. We have been talking about real names of actual towns across the country that are ridiculous. That have ridiculous. And if you have any more that you want to text to us or call us about, we would love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. It's interesting. I've got some of the reasons why, you know, we have a town from each state and that have very silly or hilarious names, and then an explanation for why they were named that way. And if anybody can give me an explanation as to why you have to be a puzzle genius in order to get a stick of deodorant, please explain that to me. Now, Esmeralda, you ever have a difficulty to get a deodorant off of the shelf?
Can't say that I have.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a Walgreens thing. I don't know. But they've got these, in for the men's, like, stick deodorant, they've got these plastic shields over them.
Yeah, I've seen it before. They do it for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, what is, I just don't understand. It takes you 15 minutes to try and get the damn thing off the shelf. You're, like, pushing, slide, click, what? So, I don't understand that. All right. We got more people on the line here. Here's Jamie on WGN. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
All right.
Hey, well, of course, I think in New Mexico, that was named after a television show, Truth or Consequences.
Truth or Consequences, yeah, that's a real place. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
It is.
And it was also a game show.
They have a festival or something on that for many years. I don't know if they still do.
Yeah.
And then in Ohio, there's a town called Gnudenhotten.
What?
Gnudenhotten.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but it was a Shawnee Native American village.
Oh, okay.
That became a town.
Okay.
I don't know the origins of it. I just know it's there.
Okay.
And then, of course, we can't pronounce a lot of names within about a 30-mile radius. There's a town of Rushi that's spelled like Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's spelled like Houston.
Yeah, that's like the street. The street in New York is also pronounced Houston.
Then there's Versailles, which is spelled like Versailles.
Right.
And then down the road, there's Neptune and Egypt.
Right. Neptune and Egypt.
So when somebody says it's out near BF Egypt, I've been there.
All right, cool. All right, Jamie, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Take care. You know somebody is not from New York when they ask for directions, like, how do I get to Houston and Third? It's Houston. It's pronounced Houston, which I don't understand. It's just weird. And also, you know, they get Versailles and all these, you know, like, well, that's like Desplaines. It's pronounced, we pronounce it Desplaines. Desplaines. All right, here's Ken on WGN. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Nick, one name that's always intrigued me is Hot Coffee Mississippi.
I have the explanation for it if you'd like to hear it, Ken.
I would.
Yeah, this is Hot Coffee Mississippi. Back in the horse and carriage days, the spot where the town of Hot Coffee Mississippi now sits marked the midpoint between Natchez, Mississippi, and Mobile, Alabama, two popular travel destinations. In the late 1800s, an inn was erected, and recognizing a good business opportunity when he saw one, a man named L.N. Davis built a store to replenish the supplies of weary travelers and hung a coffee pot outside, which advertised best hot coffee around. His secret, he used spring water to brew the New Orleans beans that sweetened the drink with molasses drippings. Though the store is no longer there, Davis's Java made enough of an impression to become the town's namesake. So there you go. It is named after good hot coffee.
There you go. Maybe you guys could do a remote from there.
Yeah, we'll do a remote from Hot Coffee, Mississippi. Okay, very cool. All right, thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, buddy, take care. All right. More appropriate for me to do a remote from I'm Alone, Wisconsin. That would be more appropriate, I think. All right, let's get back to some of these other ones. How about Climax, Georgia? Founded in the 1880s, the tiny town of Climax, Georgia, got its name from its location. It sits at the highest point on the railroad between Savannah and the Chattahoochee River. How about Volcano, Hawaii? It's an actual name. A cozy little burg near Hilo Volcano. A volcano is adjacent to several volcano hotspots. You can walk to the dormant Kaleo-Ikki Trail with that had a 1959 eruption. You can stop by Lava Rock Cafe and before heading to the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Oh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Slick Poo, Idaho. Slick Poo, Idaho. Where are you from? I'm from Slick Poo. Near Cul-de-Sac, Idaho, sits the multi-house assembly of Slick Poo, a slice of real estate that may barely qualify as a town, but was once a bustling village. Originally the site of a Catholic mission, it's said to have been gifted by the missionaries and landowner of Josiah Slick Poo. That's an unfortunate last name right there. We talked about Sandwich, Illinois. How about Santa Claus, Indiana? This is real. Where is Santa Claus, Indiana? Do we have anybody who's listening near Santa Claus, Indiana? Feels like Christmas every day in Santa Claus, Indiana. But the origin of the name wasn't quite so festive. As the story goes, the town was first named Santa Fe. In 1896, when the town wanted to secure a post office, postal officials took it to pick another name since Santa Fe was already taken. They told them to pick another name. Someone thought Santa Claus was an acceptable alternative, and the post office agreed, but to their dismay, children began mailing letters to Santa Claus, Indiana with regularity. I don't know where that Santa Claus, Indiana is. I'm sure that they probably celebrate that as well. I would imagine that they probably have some sort of Christmassy fest in Santa Claus, Indiana every year. How about What Cheer, Iowa? A former coal mining town in southeast of the state, What Cheer was christened Petersburg by Peter Britton, who settled there in 1850. But the enterprising shop owner Joseph Andrews, who created the town post office, suggested calling it What Cheer because it's possibly after an old English greeting. Britton protested, but the name stuck. Today, What Cheer has about 600 residents, down from a peak of 5,000. And hosts a seasonal flea market and musical events at its opera house. How about Gas, Kansas? The Wags and Gas know what you're thinking. You've just passed gas. See? When you're driving through town, you just passed gas. Get it?
See? Because it's like... it's.
Bug Tussle, Kentucky. The name of this tiny hamlet at the Kentucky-Tennessee border is an homage to the local bug population. The town's oldest residents say that when workers helped during the harvest, they would sleep in barns on hay that was infested with doodle bugs. Legend has it that the workers stayed so long that the bugs grew big enough to tussle for the prime napping spots. Oh, that's disgusting. That's ridiculous. Bug Tussle, Kentucky. How about You Need Us, Louisiana? Real place, You Need Us. The Lake Superior Piling Company establishment settled an establishment of they settled a bunch of model farms in the 1920s, bringing prosperity to the corner of rural Louisiana. The company's owners tweaked their corporate slogan to You Need Us into the town's new name, which is now spelled U-N-E-E-D-U-S. So it's one word altogether, You Need Us. How about this one? This is a good one. Burnt Porcupine, Maine. Burnt Porcupine, Maine. It's easy to imagine where this island off of the coast of Maine got its unusual name. Just squint at it. Located near Bar Harbor and the Acadia National Park, Burnt Porcupine has nearby sister islands with equally intriguing names, including Bald Porcupine, Long Porcupine, and Sheep Porcupine. Evidently, they have a porcupine problem there. All right. Here's Doris on WGN. Hi, Doris.
Hello, Nick. Hi. Good morning. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Hey, my boys lived in Shabazz, and there's only one in the United States. It's called Shabazz, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And it's named after an Indian little duck, I do believe.
Oh, little duck?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Little Duck, Illinois.
Yeah, well, it's called Shabazz.
Shabazz, but it's named after Little Duck.
Yes, and Santa Claus, Indiana is way down south by near Kentucky.
Okay, it's near Kentucky. So Santa Claus, Indiana is near Kentucky. All right, cool.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Doris.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You
Have
too.
A good weekend.
All right, you too.
Bye.
There you go. A little more information about Santa Claus, Indiana. How about Boring, Maryland? Boring, Maryland. That's a terrible name. All right. We have to take a break, and we've got more coming up here. We're going to save the high school movies for another time because this, I'm having a blast with these stupid town names. And if you guys want to jump in, you can send texts all you want, 312-981-7200, and also call us, and we'll talk more about it. And all the regular features are coming up right here on 720 WGN. It is Friday. This week on Chicago's Best, it's a smoke show. Get ready for tasty, slow-cooked smoked meats. It's an all-new Chicago Best Smoked Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV. Hey, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studios here on Michigan Avenue, and we are here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We're talking about funny named towns that really exist throughout the United States, and if you've got some weird town name that you would love to share with us, these are all real, and I've got some of the origin stories behind some of the funniest named towns, and we're talking about that. And we've got all of our regular features coming up in just a little bit. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday, and, of course, You Big Dummy. All coming up right here on 720 WGN. All right, let's go back to some of these names here. And let's see. We just had Boring, Maryland, and now we've got we're moving on to Massachusetts. Belchertown, Massachusetts. While we hope that Belchertown was named for the aftermath of a particularly tasty meal, the real story is a bit less delicious. It's named after Jonathan Belcher, a colonial governor of Massachusetts. So, Belchertown. That's not as fun. How about Hell, Michigan? We've talked about this one before, and I know there's a bunch of people in Michigan. And this one shows up a lot, you know, when you have the road signs that say, you know, you're entering hell or you hell. Those pictures are posted online. They've been posted online and in internet stuff for a long, long time. Yes, there is a hell on earth. It's 15 miles northwest of Ann Arbor. There are several stories floating around about how this came to be, but the one that the town itself declares is official is in the 1830s. The town settler George Reeves made a deal with local farmers to trade his homemade whiskey for the grain they grew. When the farmers' wives knew their husbands were off dealing with Reeves, they would remark, gone to hell again, and the name stuck. That's a good origin story. All right, this one actually might be my favorite. Dan, this one might be my favorite. Nimrod, Minnesota. I think that might be my favorite. What's the story behind Nimrod, Minnesota?
I got to hear it.
It's a pretty exclusive group of Minnesotans who can lay claim to be an official Nimrod. There's only 69 at last count. Though the town takes up 1 square mile of the Gopher State, it's got one big claim to fame. It's the hometown of Dick Stigman, a pro baseball player who pitched for the Minnesota Twins, the Cleveland Indians, and the Boston Red Sox in the 60s. As for the name itself, it's a biblical reference. In the book of Genesis, Nimrod is described as, quote, a mighty hunter before the Lord, and is credited with overseeing the construction of the Tower of Babel. Wow. So how did Nimrod become an insult if this dude was so badass in the Bible?
I don't know.
Because Nimrod, I don't think powerful warrior, you know, mighty hunter before the Lord. I think Nimrod, I think some stupid dork is usually what I think. We mentioned Hot Coffee, Mississippi. How about Tightwad, Missouri? Is that where Jack Benny's from? Most legends surrounding the town's name tend to trace it to a postmaster who was upset with a cheapskate watermelon farmer who sold a promised melon out from under him for an extra 50-cent profit. But these days, the main draw to this tiny town is in central Missouri is its bank. Customers from all over the county open accounts just so they can send checks with the Tightwad logo on them. Named after a dude who screwed a guy over for a watermelon? That's fantastic. How about Prey, Montana? While it's true that you'll likely spend more time staring at the heavens in the big sky country, the town of Prey, Montana wasn't named after a religious suggestion. It was founded in 1907 for the then state representative Charles Nelson Prey. I thought for a second it was going to be Riley. I would have been like, Charles Nelson Riley. Oh, ho, ho. Magnet, Nebraska. After mapping out a town in northeast Nebraska, settler B.E. Smith was tasked with naming it. He wanted an attractive name for the community that would draw visitors across his border, so he christened it Magnet in 1893. Today, the locale is home to about 75 residents. Yeah, folks, these are not big towns by any stretch of the imagination. These are teeny tiny places that have these hilarious names. All right. If you have a hilarious named town or that maybe that you know of and you want to jump in with it, 312-981-7200. I have more entertaining origin stories coming up, too, with weird named towns. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. The news is coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. No, we're actually not. We're actually in the Showcase Studio down on the main floor right out here on Michigan Avenue. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. How are you? We are live in the Allstate Studios, and we're here till 5. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will have You Big Dummy, followed by all of our regular features, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, and then it becomes Fly Jams Friday. Dan Shagru, DJ Shagru, taking the morning off, so DJ Longfellow, Dan Long, is here, and that's coming up. We have been talking about really weird and funny named towns that actually exist in the United States, and I've got some of the weird and interesting and funny origin stories behind how they got their names, and we've got some texts that have come in as well. 269 area code says, Steve in Michigan says, in Michigan there are the towns of Hell, Climax, Slapneck, and Vulcan. Vulcan? Okay. 765 area code says, I don't know if there's an intercourse in Indiana, but I have had intercourse there and in several other states. Thank you for sharing. Thank you very, very much. Half Day, Illinois, 630 area code, Half Day, Illinois. I know there's a Half Day Road. 847 area code says, how about Booger Hollow, Arkansas? 219 area code says, there is a Climax, Michigan near Kalamazoo. It's roughly 160 miles from Chicago, and it just takes under 3 hours to reach Climax, Kevin says. Thank you very much, Kevin.
All right.
Thank you for those texts. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. There's another sandwich in New Hampshire. How about Love Ladies, New Jersey? Love Ladies, New Jersey. The town of Love Ladies, New Jersey was actually named after a man, not a group of women. Located on Long Beach Island, it got its start as one of the life-saving stations that appeared on the Jersey shore in the 1870s. The station borrowed its name from a nearby island owned by Thomas Lovelady, a local hunter and sportsman. When the community grew into a town, it tested out several new names, including Clubhouse and Long Beach Park. In 1952, the early name of Love Ladies became official. All right, here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick. Good morning. How are you, pal?
All right. What's up?
Hey, I'm a truck driver, so I get around. I see some crazy names.
Yeah.
And not too far from Nimrod, Minnesota, believe it or not, is a town called Oink Joint.
Oink Joint.
Oink Joint, Minnesota.
And it's close to Nimrod.
It's about 35 miles away. Two towns with a name like that close together, there's some weird stuff going on.
Something's going on in Minnesota. Something's definitely going on in Minnesota, Mike.
Oink Joint.
Oink Joint. We're going to find out. Dan, can you find anything out about Oink Joint, Minnesota?
Sounds like a barbecue place.
It does, doesn't it? All right, Mike, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
All right, see you. There you go. Oink Joint. Here's one. New Mexico. Esmeralda, would you like to visit Candy Kitchen in New Mexico?
Sure.
Sandwiched between Zuni and Navajo reservations in western New Mexico, Candy Kitchen Ranch purportedly got its name with a local moonshine distiller. Needed a front to hide his illicit operations during Prohibition. So it's not candy, it's booze, Esmeralda. That's just a front. Candy Kitchen isn't the only sweet tooth locale in the rural part of New Mexico. 85 miles down a dusty trail sits a place called Pie Town. So you're going to travel from Candy Kitchen to Pie Town. Come back with cavities.
It's straight out of a rock promo from the 90s.
Yeah, Pie Town. You know which rock promo I could watch 8,000? By the way, we're talking about The Rock, and a promo means working the mic in wrestling. There aren't many guys. There are a handful of guys who are better than The Rock at cutting promos. And when he was at his best in the late 90s, that was at the time, late 90s into the early 2000s, no one was better on the mic, with the exception of Ric Flair, who's better than anybody who's ever lived on the mic. But The Rock had one promo that just killed me. It just destroys me every time. And I've watched it like a bunch of times. And I mean, he had killer promos every show. Every show he would kill. Like putting T-shirts over Michael Cole's head and stuff like that. But my favorite was when they had a storyline that somebody hit Stone Cold Steve Austin with a car. Someone like ran him over with a car, and the cops were investigating, and they found out that it was The Rock's car. Like the car was registered to The Rock, and they're backstage. Michael Cole he's cutting a promo with The Rock, and two cops come in, and he just goes off on the cops. It's the funny. He does the, it doesn't matter what your name is. He does all the, if you just shut your mouth in 3 seconds, they will all chant The Rock's name. He does all the greatest hits and just like completely makes fun of these cops and talks about, what's your favorite kind of donut? And then he's like, yeah, well, then turn that sideways. You know, and he does the whole thing. And if you ever find, the promo's on YouTube, and I highly recommend that you watch it. If you watch it, you gotta watch Cole, because Cole can't keep it. He's trying so hard not to laugh, at the peak of his promo strength, fantastic. How about Never Sink, New York? Why not North Carolina? Cannonball, North Dakota. How about Knock 'em Stiff, Ohio? Gene Autry, Oklahoma. The community formerly known as Berwyn, Oklahoma. Berwyn took on the name of the famous singing cowboy after the man himself came to town and purchased a 1,200-acre ranch that he would turn into the headquarters of his Flying A Ranch Rodeo. A few years after the purchase, Cecil Crosby, the local sheriff of Carter County, where Berwyn was located, suggested the town change its name in honor of Autry. The town's 227 residents signed a petition in favor of the change, with the post office and railroad agreeing to alter their names soon after. And then on November 16th, 1941, the town of Berwyn officially became Gene Autry, Oklahoma. All right. How about Zigzag, Oregon? They sell rolling papers there? Here's another Intercourse, Pennsylvania. Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Okay, this is a good one right here. Ketchup Town, South Carolina, where they do not sell hot dogs, I would imagine. If it's Ketchup Town, you don't sell hot dogs. What's the story behind this one? The Horry County town got its name from a country store built by Herbert Small in 1927, but not because of the condiments it sold. Every week, farmers would flock to Small's store to catch up, C-A-T-A-C-H, up on news and gossip. As the town grew up around the store, the name stuck, and it's Ketchup Town. And it's spelled like the condiment, Ketchup Town. Mudbutt, South Carolina. Difficult, Tennessee. Ding Dong, Texas. Mexican Hat, Utah. What? Satan's Kingdom, Vermont. Bumpus, Virginia. Bumpus, Virginia. I guess that means all the residents own many, many obnoxious dogs that like to bust into the back door and eat turkey. Hump Tulips, Washington. Washington. Lick Fork, West Virginia. Bosstown, Wisconsin. And finally, Chugwater, Wyoming. All real names, and we'll close with this last one. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Hey, the Bald Man's Convention is held in Moorhead, North Carolina.
Come on now, that's not true.
Oh, it is true.
It's true, really.
It is true.
Okay, so Bald Man Convention is held in Moorhead, North Carolina.
Right.
Okay, that's great. All right, Dan, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, yeah. We live in a funny country.